God, in the midst of us, flame of our life, come here among us and bring us to life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All of the Gospels are silent as to the events that take place from the time of Jesus' death on Good Friday until the women visit the tomb in the dark of early Sunday morning. Sarah Thabarge says that we are living in the space between Friday night surrender and Sunday morning surprise, in the space between Friday night death and Sunday morning resurrection, where our desires and dreams still lie silent in the grave as divine love imperceptibly begins to breathe them back to life. And in darkness is how we began this Easter Vigil service. We hold vigil and we celebrate finally Easter. We gather around a new fire, we light the Paschal candle and sing as the light of Christ begins to pierce the darkness. We all light candles and listen to the ancient stories of our creation, salvation, and redemption. And we hear that we have not been created by accident, but that God calls us into being, delivers us from bondage, and breathes new life into our dry bones. This vigil of waiting for God has been kept since ancient times, grounded in the story of the Jewish Passover, continuing through the story of Christ, who is our own Passover, sacrificed for us. In Jesus, God has become among us in the flesh and shows us what love looks like and that we are never abandoned by God. This is the night when we are surrounded in the holy Paschal mystery. The passion of Jesus and his death are behind us, and his resurrection just ahead of us and here now. This is the night when we proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. And this is also the night when we will formally receive our newest Christian haze into this particular body of Christ at St. Paul's. And we will baptize him into the life and death and resurrection of Jesus through the waters of baptism, just as the earliest Christians did on this night after keeping the same vigil. And then we will gather at the Lord's table and experience the presence of Christ in the bread and wine, just as the disciples did on the night that Jesus last broke bread with them and poured out wine with them, and asked them and all of us to do it all in remembrance of him. And so we have sat in our Saturday quiet, waiting, listening, keeping watch, getting small glimpses of light in the darkness. Until now, the silence is broken by the women going to the tomb in the darkness. They have trudged along, spices in hand, to properly prepare Jesus' body for burial because there was not enough time earlier. And they expected to find Jesus dead in the tomb, stone rolled shut. But instead, the stone was rolled away with the dark opening looming before them. And when they went inside, they found no body, no Jesus, nothing. And suddenly, two men in dazzling white stood beside them as they were trying to figure all this out. And they were terrified and bowed their heads to the ground. And the men asked them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? That Jesus was not there, he has risen." Well, this just didn't fit their worldview at all. Jesus was crucified on a cross, died, and was buried right before their very eyes, no doubt about it. So they sure didn't expect any life at all after what had happened. No wonder their perplexity, their terror, their turning away. Then they remembered what Jesus had said, that he would be handed over, crucified, and on the third day rise again. So they returned to tell this to all of the other disciples, who didn't believe them. But Peter went to see for himself, and he found the linen burial cloths in the tomb, and then went home amazed. Now, it's funny how the reactions of the women and the disciples were so mixed. Fear, amazement, disbelief, joy. We find that in all the gospel accounts. But they didn't tell anyone else, just each other. At first, it was kind of a grave secret. But as someone once noted, grave secrets have a way of coming back to life. And when they do, those who discover them often have to reframe their whole entire lives because all they thought was true, well, it wasn't. So that's what this night is all about. It reframes everything when the grave secret comes out. Light now clears the darkness away. Sin has been forgiven. Death has become new life. Jesus has risen from death and the tomb, and the world has been transformed. And the women, those loving first responders, became the earliest witnesses of Jesus' amazing gift of unending love for us. And this night reminds us that death does not have the last word. Sure, we have our fears, our times of turning our faces away from love, of looking for life in all the wrong places. And the two men at the tomb ask a fair question, why are you looking for the living among the dead? But the women didn't know that they were looking for life. They were looking only for death. It dawned on them gradually. But that is precisely where we always find the sparks of new life. When all seems dire, when our fear and anxiety try to overtake us, when we don't really expect to see any life at all, well, we find new life in that empty tomb. And this night reminds us that resurrection happens, perhaps not always suddenly. We don't really know how long it took for this to happen with Jesus, but it happens. And for us, maybe it happens slowly in small steps and ways. And if we don't look carefully, we might miss it, because there are rarely men in dazzling white clothes who appear to point it out to us. This night reminds us that we don't have to remain closed up in our tombs of fear or hopelessness or anxiety. In our day-to-day encounters, in all of our ups and downs, maybe we are just coming to life over and over again. And our gradual resurrections, our transformations, always come to us in this quiet space of Friday night surrender and Sunday morning surprise. God's love for us never ceases, no matter what. And God's love for us in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ never ceases. And as Sarah Thabarge also wrote, the world with all of its imperfections is hurtling toward redemption. We are on our way to indestructible bodies, reconciliation, and life without end. So, my friends, this is the night when we are restored to grace and holiness of life. We are always a part of God's story, a part of God's love, a part of God's creation, redemption, and salvation. And we are always on our way to places of resurrection, to places where all tears are wiped away and sorrow is no more. And to that we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Amen.